frankly, I think January is second best wildlife viewing month that we have around our area.
So what's the first?
I would say probably May or June, mainly because of all the different birds and wildflowers and then the reptiles, amphibians, and butterflies and stuff. But, you know, during the winter months, particularly January, when it's kind of bad for us, it's great for a lot of other things because a lot of northern species will migrate down to the land between lakes area because mainly the water's open. So there's a lot of opportunities to survive during these colder conditions. But also because of, you know, it's a little bit more open. You know, the leaves are on the trees, and the animals still have to do all their normal daily stuff. So you see some different kinds of behaviors. So you see a lot more species moving down here, but you also see some of the species that we have being more active.
So nature watchers, people who do this year after year, I mean, are there particular animals that they gather to see during the winter months? What are the highlights of
So definitely, you know, during the month of January, eagles is always the top-notch one. People will travel, you know, hundreds of miles to come see the eagles. We have a very high population of eagles, probably the highest in both Kentucky and Tennessee. In the area. We're close to that Mississippi flyway. We also have a number of different waterfowl species. Typically, if you go out wildlife viewing, you'll see maybe 20 regular species of waterfowl, and you always get that odd one, oddly the odd duck, out there on that water. One of the things I think is the neatest during the winter months that you don't normally get to see in our area is loons. We think of loons as being on Minnesota lakes, Wisconsin, Canada, but the loons come down here during the winter months. So each bay, you'll probably see one or two. And these are big birds. They change colors. They're not the same loons that you're going to see in Minnesota during the summer months. And they don't always call, but you can see their winter plumage as well as every so often they'll call. Peregrine falcons. We get peregrine falcons here during the winter months, which is, you know, the world's fastest bird. You don't normally get to see that normally throughout the year because they like to nest on cliffs and on buildings and skyscrapers and stuff like that in areas like Louisville, Lexington, or eastern Kentucky in the mountains. But they need to migrate to warmer places where there's a lot of food. Another name for a peregrine falcon is the duck hawk. And so a lot of times they'll be perched up on our new bridges that we have at Land Between Lakes or the two dams. And you'll just see almost like this lone sentinel sitting on watch. And if you're lucky, you'll get to see them dive bomb one of the gulls or a duck. So those are a couple of the species that I think are kind of highlights.
How large can loons get?
You know, that's a good question. They're definitely larger than most of the ducks that you're going to see. You know, when you see them out in the water, so you don't always get the best judge, but it's definitely something that you notice. They are a big bird.
What about any earthbound wildlife? What are some of those highlights?
You know, so like when you're driving some of the back roads of Land Between Lakes, the thing I'm always shocked at seeing during the middle of winter is armadillos. You wouldn't think that you would see armadillos, but I think January is actually one of the best months to see these really nocturnal animals. And Land Between Lakes has a number of them. We've had them for 20 some plus years as they migrated up north. And one of the reasons why they are out during the middle of winter is because these nocturnal animals are forced to forage during the day when it's warmer. If you look at an armadillo, they don't have much body hair. They are a mammal, so they're warm-blooded, but they don't have a lot of hair, so they're not adapted for cold conditions. They don't hibernate, so they don't build up a lot of body fat, so they have to still be active. And what they usually do is they hole up during the coldest times of the month, and when the temperature gets to be 40, 50 degrees, they'll come on out. Other species, you know, you can actually see lots of bats during the month of January, particularly what we call red bats. They're the ones that are flying around in the evening hours when you get those 50-degree days. And they do hibernate. They're a tree bat, so they don't go to the caves. They stay in the trees, and they look actually like a dead oak leaf. Coyotes, bobcats are very easy to see during this time period. The deer and the turkeys kind of group up. You know, the deer are in larger herds. The males have already gone through the rut, so you'll start seeing their antlers falling off. The turkeys can get in flocks about 50. Another one I think is kind of cool is barred owls, which a lot of people around here call the hoot owl. And as you're driving some of these back roads, you're just all seeing this shape sitting on top of a road sign or fence post or, you know, dead tree, and it's the barred owls. They're coming out during the day because they're trying to find that food that's scurrying around.
Now, of all the animals that make this their home year-round, is there one in particular that comes out more during the winter that we hardly ever see other times of the year?
Well, definitely, you know, as I mentioned, the armadillo, but I would say the bobcat is probably, we see more bobcats during this time of the year than we do at other times of the year. The bobcat's a very secretive, nocturnal, solitary creature. I think there's two reasons why you see more bobcats during this time period. One is the leaves are off the trees, so you can actually see further into it. But also, I feel that they're out there scurrying around trying to find whatever they can and mark in their territory. March is their breeding season, so they're probably trying to set those territories so that they can get the females later on when March comes around.
Are there any particular places inland between the lakes that visitors should be highlighted of during this time of the year to where they can get good views of some of these wildlife?
Absolutely. So the places that I really like to highlight, if you want to go for some unusual birds, the peregrines, maybe some of the loons, eagles, definitely go to the two large dams, the tailwaters, you know, Kentucky and Lake Barkley dams, the northwest corner of land between lakes. So any of those bays, Smith, Pisgah, Duncan are all good ones. Two big highlights are the what we call the Woodlands Nature Watch area, which is the area around Honker and Hematite Lakes, then the nature station itself. If you drive back there, you're going to see all sorts of wildlife. You're going to see white-tailed deer, fallow deer, turkeys. You're going to probably pick up a bobcat or two. I saw one last week. It's an area that's managed for wildlife viewing as well as wildlife diversity. And then another spot that's kind of off, it's not off the beaten path, but it's one that people may overlook, and it's called Long Creek Wildlife Refuge, and it's right next to the Lake Barkley Bridge. It's a wetland that the Forest Service manages as a wetland, and it attracts a number of different bird species. So if you are a birder that wants to rack up some numbers of species to see, Long Creek Wildlife Refuge can satisfy a lot of people.
Well, is there anything we haven't discussed so far today that you think listeners should know?
You know, one of the things that I always like to talk about when it comes to winter is, of course, January is one of the best times for winter viewing, but there are some other neat things to see out there that's more physical in nature. You know, so like when the lakes freeze over, the sounds that the cracking ice makes is kind of a cool one. It's very sci-fi. There's this thing that people don't always realize is something called a frost flower that ends up on the sides of the roads. And what it is it's a, you know, you've all probably broken off a tall plant and it has a hollow stem. And what happens is it collects water, the stem that's still in the ground. And when that water freezes, it gets pushed out because ice expands. And it curls around and makes almost this perfect ice rose on the ground. And a lot of times you're driving down the road and you might bypass it as something of trash. Like, oh, look, someone threw out all this trash. But if you stop and look at it, it's this intricate pieces of natural art on the side of the road, these frost flowers. And I definitely encourage anybody, if you see those on a frosty morning, to stop by and take a look.